But I want us to look this morning at a quarantine prayer found in Philippians chapter 1. One of the interesting things about Scripture is that it does speak fresh to us at different times and in different ways. But I want to start out by just acknowledging what a difficult week this has been. In 1 week's time, the world shifted dramatically. Last Sunday at this time, I was sitting at this spot, or standing at this spot with a tie on then, and looking out at a bunch of smiling faces. And now we are told that we cannot gather in groups of more than 10 people. And those of you who live in Illinois, you're told to stay home. Many of you this week have tried to secure groceries, and it's been a crazy experience. Many of you are in different job situations this week than you were last week. Some of you have been laid off. Some of you are working overtime. It's been a difficult week. And the truth is that no one in our church remembers anything like this. Even Bob and Steve aren't old enough to remember the last time that a quarantine shut down our area. Although this experience is not new to humanity. And several of you, as I talked to you this week, shared that the last time the major flu pandemic swept through the United States, several of you lost grandparents in that time period. So you did not get to meet those grandparents because of that pandemic. We are in a period of uncertainty. And I know that, and I live that personally. There's so many things that we're trying to work through, trying to figure out how do we do this now, and is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? Quite honestly, we don't know how this is going to end. We don't know how long this is going to last, how long they're going to tell us that we can't meet in groups. And there's a lot of uncertainty in this time. And quite honestly, we're not sure what to do with ourselves. All of the things that we are used to doing have now been pulled away from us. Many in our congregation are in the healthcare field, and we certainly want to lift up those who are working in healthcare, and they're working longer hours than normal because of this pandemic. I know, and I'm not going to call by name because I know I'll forget several of them, but we have a lot of people in our congregation, a lot of people watching this morning, or a lot of people that will watch it later, that are working a lot of long hours and putting themselves in very dangerous situations in order to provide the health care that is needed. And those who may not be in health care but are in other essential positions where your hours are lengthened, where your job is more stressful because of this. And so we certainly need to lift them up in prayer. But there are many in our congregation that are also quarantined at home, facing a very different set of realities, a very different set of frustrations, struggling with anxiety and just hour upon hour of nothing to do or not being able to do the things that we're used to doing. There's the frustration of canceled plans. I know for me personally, there's a lot of things that I was looking forward to that are just being canceled. There was a trip to the mountains for me that was canceled this week at the end of May, that a chance I enjoy to go and fellowship with Nazarene pastors and leaders across the U.S., and that's canceled. I don't get to see mountains again this year. But there are a lot more frustrating situations. I know Brandon and Kendra are wrestling with their wedding, and how do they do this now? None of us would choose what we're now facing, and I get that. I don't think that any of us woke up and said, you know what would be a really good idea is if we could just have this pandemic sweep across the United States and we could all be really stressed. None of us would choose that. But I think we can grow through this challenge. And I felt from the very beginning, and I think I shared this in the video I put on Facebook earlier this week, when I started hearing the rumors of this virus and hearing how it was impacting China and then as it spread across the globe, I started to get this sense that it was going to impact us, and I didn't know how and I didn't know when, I didn't know how soon, but I also got the sense that we would be stronger as a result of this. And I firmly believe that today, now that I see this starting to unfold, I believe that we can grow through this challenge, that we can be stronger as individuals, that we can be better in our relationships with one another, that we can be better as a community of faith because of this experience, if we choose to live intentionally during this time. Now, I know the temptation is to just sit back and veg and sit in front of the TV and watch through episode after episode of whatever. Or the temptation for those who are working longer hours is to grow in resentment towards those who are not doing the right thing, who are not not staying home, so they're not putting putting us in a position as a society so that we can get through this. There's a temptation for us to be frustrated and to grow angry. But I would encourage us, instead of giving in to those temptations, real though they are, that we would approach this through the perspective of how can I live intentionally so that I come out of this as a better person. Not so I can go back to life as it was, but so that I can go back to a new life that is better than what was. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Scripture is a living book. The author of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And there are ways that the Holy Spirit uses Scripture in one time over another so that it means one thing this time and it comes across different to us in another time. And so there are words that we've read in the past, there are words that I've preached in the past that meant something at that time. And yet as we read through them now, these words mean something new. And I definitely think that our message this morning is one of those passages, one of those sections of Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you have the church app open, it should work to where as I open this Scripture, that it will send you a notification that you can open your Bible with me. But I want us to look this morning at a passage of Scripture that we've read before. It's a passage of Scripture that I've preached before, but never in this way. And I think that it speaks to us today differently because of where we're at and what we're going through. So if you have your Bibles, let's open up to the book of Philippians, and we'll start in chapter 1. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel about you as I do, for I have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with all the tender compassions of Christ Jesus. And I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Get a little bit emotional just reading through that passage of Scripture, and I did yesterday as I was studying this. I've been wrestling all week with where do I go with this message. I had planned to continue our journey through looking at community and what community is, and I was planning on being in the book of Acts. But this week, I really felt like that wasn't the right place, and as I was praying, and as I was reading, and as I was studying, I was starting to feel this draw towards the book of Philippians. Now, the book of Philippians was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he wrote this letter to a group of Christians who were in the city of Philippi. Paul at this time was imprisoned, and we don't know exactly where. There are a couple of options for where he was imprisoned. That's not the important part. The important part is that he was separated from a group of people that he desperately wanted to be with, a group of people that he loved, that he cared about. And I started to feel like that describes us as a culture right now too. The truth is that the videos that I record as your pastor during this time are very similar to the letters that Paul wrote to the congregations that he was serving when he couldn't be with them. There's this deep longing to be with people. There's this deep longing to be gathered as the body of Christ. There's this deep longing to be able to walk through life together. And now we're in a position where we're separated and we're not able to be together the way that we're used to. And you hear that longing in Paul's writing and this prayer that is very reflective of how we feel in our culture today. Now, this book was written in a very stressful time for Paul. We don't know all the specifics. Again, there are several times that Paul was imprisoned, and we don't know exactly which imprisonment this was written from. But it's stressful for Paul because he's quarantined. He's not able to be with the people that he's used to being with. And for Paul, as we clearly see in his last letter that he wrote, he feels absolutely isolated when he's in prison and no one is there with him, because he lives for the attention and the interaction with and the relationships with others. And so during this time, Paul is in quarantine or imprisoned. The truth is, it feels the same. Many of you today feel like you're imprisoned. And you can relate clearly with what Paul is saying, those longings, those deep longings that Paul reflects. And it's in this time of quarantine or this time of imprisonment where Paul is reminded just how deeply he loves the Philippian people. It is through his times of prayer that he is able to remember his love for them and to call out to God and say, God, I can't be with them. I can't help them. I can't be there for them. Would you be there with them? Would you meet them in this time, in this place of difficulty? And he's reminded of their fellowship together. Now, the New Living Translation and most translations translate that as the partnership in the gospel. But the Greek word that's used there is the word koinonia, which is the word for fellowship. Paul is remembering their fellowship together, how they work together in community to accomplish more than they could separately. And again, I feel like that speaks to us today. I feel like there's this sense in which we are desperately trying to figure out how do we live life when we can't be together with people that we love. But here's the good news for Paul. Quarantined without Facebook or without YouTube or without videos or without text messages, without any kind of electronic communication, Paul has certainty that God is still at work in the lives of the people that he loves so deeply. Just because they weren't together did not mean that God was done working in their lives. And I think that's important for us to remember during this time as well. Even though we're separated, even though we can't be together when we want to be together, that does not mean that God is finished working. God is going to continue to work in all of us as long as we open ourselves up to him during this time. And he will do things in us that goes beyond what we could imagine. And Paul reminds them at this point in the letter that there is a better day coming. He looks forward to the day on which Christ returns. It's a day that we need to be reminded of in this time as well. We need to be reminded that this quarantine is not going to last forever. There is a better day coming for us. The day in which Christ returns. The day in which all things that are wrong in this world are made right. The day in which all of the pandemics are gone. There's no more illnesses. There's no more sicknesses. There's no more tears. There's no more garbage in our lives. There's no more politics, praise the Lord. There's a better day coming that we can all look forward to with great hope and great anticipation. Until then, God's going to keep working on us to make us ready for that day. And as Paul turns from his own emotions towards the Philippians to what he's praying for them, he starts out by saying, I pray that your love will overflow. That's a part of my prayer for you as people today as well. For those of you who are working hard and working overtime trying to make things go in this crazy time in our culture, I'm praying that God will give you love that overflows as you go through your daily work. For those of you who are stuck in quarantine and you're maybe stuck with people that you're not used to being with 24/7, I'm praying that your love would overflow. For those of you who are working with people at a distance as you try to get your groceries, as you try to get food, as you try to go through normal routines, as you're working at a distance with people who are equally frustrated, I pray that your love will overflow and that you can show that love of Christ to the people that you're with. Even in these difficult times, I pray that your love can overflow, that you can grow in your love for one another, that you can see where others are coming from better in this time than you ever have before, that you can understand the underlying anxiety that causes people to struggle right now, that you can understand why this is such a challenging situation for somebody else, because the truth is we're all in this together. We may be facing it differently, we may be experiencing it differently, but we are all in this together. Paul also wants them during this time to grow in their knowledge and understanding. And that's my prayer for you as well. And my prayer is not that you grow in your knowledge and understanding of what one news channel says over the other. And it's not that you grow in your knowledge and understanding of what shows are trending on Netflix or on Hulu or Disney Plus. My prayer is that you would grow in the knowledge and understanding of who God is and what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Even when we can't study together, we can study Scripture. We can read the Bible. And my plan is over the next few weeks to have some online times where I just get online and it's more interactional and we kind of do a Sunday school class or a small group where we just read through Scripture together, we study Scripture together. Still working on details for that, but my hope is that we'll do that on a regular basis. I want you to be able to study on your own, but I also want you to be able to reach out when you're studying and you have questions. Feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call or shoot me a text and say, Pastor, I'm reading this. I'm struggling here. What's this mean? Help me to understand it. But in the midst of this, there's this statement where Paul says, I want you to pay attention to what really matters. And that's been my deepest prayer for you. We have lived in a culture, and this culture has taken on a life of its own. Over the last 20, 30 years, we've transitioned from a culture that really was focused on people interacting with one another to now we've focused on a culture that is people interacting with technology. And I think we're spending an awful lot of time on things that don't matter with our technology. I think sometimes the activities that we get involved with, the activities that our kids get involved with, can take over our lives and we don't even get to live life. We don't get to enjoy one another. We don't get to enjoy relationships because we're constantly running from one event to the next. And my prayer is during this time that we will reflect on those things. Is this what really matters? Are we spending our time doing the things that really matter? Or are we spending so much time on things that come and go and we get no lasting value from them and that keep us from truly building relationships with one another? In our normal life pre-coronavirus, many things pulled for our attention. And even now, many things are pulling for our attention. But not all of these things are as important as we allow them to be. Not all of these things are as important as we make them. And so this is a time for us to evaluate that quite honestly none of us have had in our lifetimes. Paul desires for his friends and loved ones in Philippi to live pure lives. As they grow in their knowledge, as they overflow with love, as they prioritize what really matters, he wants them to live pure lives. And not lives that are cluttered by the world, not lives of sin, but lives that are pure. Lives that allow you to go to sleep at night with a clear conscience. To live above reproach. And I pray that for you during this time as well. And once again at this point, Paul reminds them that there is a better day coming. There is a day coming where we will give an account for our lives. And we'll give an account for how did you use the time when the COVID-19 virus shut down the world? How did you use that time? There's a better day coming when all will be made right. But we will give an account for how we've used our lives. And Paul wraps up this section by saying that he wants them to be filled with the fruit of their salvation. And he's referring here to the fruits of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read those together. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know this is hard for us to take this list of things and say, let me apply this to my life today. For those of you who are working overtime and working in dangerous situations, it's hard for you to feel this fruit in your lives with people that are doing stupid things. But my prayer is that as your love abounds and as your love overflows, that this is what will be taking place inside of you. For those of you that are quarantined and in tight spaces with people that you love deeply but that can get on your nerves after a while, my prayer is that these fruits will be shown to those that you're with. In living this way, Paul says, we bring glory to God, even in times of trouble. So a couple of thoughts for us as we wrap up this time. First of all, I want you to know that you're missed. You're loved. And meeting online is better than nothing, but nothing actually beats being together. I'm struggling this morning, and I've been struggling all week. As I look out across the empty pews here this morning, there's nobody in the building but me. I miss you guys. I love you. I wish we could be together as the gathered people of Christ. But there's a better day coming. We won't always be living like this. Very soon we're going to be able to gather again in this place. And we need to keep our eyes on that hope. But not only is there a better day coming when this quarantine ends and this virus is under control, but there's a better day coming when we get to celebrate eternity with Christ, and there is no more pandemic coming. There is no more virus making its rounds. There's no more news that we need to be carefully watching. No governor's press conferences that really are priority for us, because there's nothing else coming. Because in that day when Christ makes all things new, there will be no sickness or illness for us to worry about. And we need to be reminded of that hope. We also need to be reminded that God is still at work. That this can be a powerful time in our lives if we allow God to work. Our society typically does not embrace times of reflection, but we're getting one as a society. So let's take advantage of this time. And may our love overflow. No matter what you have to do, no matter what interactions you have with people, whether it's people over the phone, whether it's people over the internet, whether it's people in a grocery store, may your love overflow. Even when we're facing frustrating situations. May we live out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And may God receive glory for the lives that we live, not just when things are going well, but in this time as well. even in the midst of a pandemic.